Ah, shit, here we go again.
Welcome to the Sloppy Book Club podcast. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Celise, and welcome back. On this week's episode, we will have the pleasure of speaking with our friend Amber Cordova. Please don't beat me up if I'm saying it wrong, but she will be on to correct me if I am saying it wrong. Who will be debuting her first novel, The Truth Never Spoken. We are really excited to have her. We've actually had the pleasure of meeting her in person, and she was just so lovely and so nice. So I can't wait for you guys to meet her.
Yeah. So let's start off with some drinks. Do you have a drink today?
Yes. So yes. I know it doesn't look like a lot because it's just like it was like a little bottle wine, but it's Wild Berry. I forget the brand, but I felt like it was on par to what our character would drink, something fruity. And she's usually I think it was like a peach Moscato, but this is Wild Berry.
Okay. And I have, one of my friends gifted me this. It's a Pinot Grigio Bellissima, and it's zero sugar.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And I've already tried it. It's good. You could tell it's missing that sugar.
It's not as
when you can taste it, but I actually like it, so I'll be drinking it.
That's good. Love that.
Yeah. All right, so it looks like she's here, so let's just let her in.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I remember it was today. I just didn't. I thought it was later.
Yeah, no worries. It's all good.
I'm sorry.
No worries. We're happy to just have you. So yes. No worries.
It was a crazy busy weekend. So we get it.
And I am literally in the middle of like packing pre-orders.
Damn. That's a good thing.
It's great. I'm also taught today all day. So
I get it. I told Jenny, I said I didn't go in today. Couldn't.
Nice.
Sorry, we have ours too.
All right, so we're super happy to have you on. We're excited that you wanted to come on, and we were so excited to meet you this weekend. You're so super nice. You're just as you are online, you are in person. So yes, we love
you
that.
Are. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I know that's a tough question. I know everybody hates answering that question.
It's just how much time do I have to tell you about myself? My name is Amber Cordova. I am 32. I currently live in Florida, and I've been in the United States for about 8 years. We moved here when our son was 2 months old. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and my husband just had better job opportunities here, so we moved to the States. He grew up here, so he was just in the Dominican for a little bit. So I'm Dominican. I am a teacher. I am an academic coach during the day and trying to conquer this author thing during the night.
I commend you.
it's definitely it's definitely busy. Like, I run on very little sleep, especially now with everything going on, but I like to tell stories. So I wanted to share them with the world, and you know, it is what you have to do. And I'm very happy that I'm able to, you know, that I'm capable of. So it's fine. I love teaching. I love working with kiddos. I've been teaching for, this is my 12th year. And I love reading. I've always been a reader. My mom was a huge reader. And what else? I am married. I have two kids. I love summer and fall.
So do we.
Oh, yay. I love summer and fall. My two favorites. It's spring is too chaotic, too polliny.
Yeah, I was gonna say too many allergies.
There's too much going on. And because I'm a teacher, I have the summer off. So that's definitely why it's my favorite. I don't love the beach, but I love swimming and I love being outside with my family. So we do go a lot to the beach, even though it's not my fave. And I think that's it.
That's awesome. So when did you decide that you wanted to become an author, and what has been the inspiration to your writing or making you want to write stories?
So, funny story, I actually never thought I was going to write anything. Except in college, I took creative writing class because I do like telling stories. So I took creative writing class and it was okay. The Spanish literature is very different than English lit, and it wasn't like my jam. Like, I liked it. I had fun with it, but it wasn't like what I wanted to do. And the older I got, the more I love telling stories. And, you know, unless I'm going to be like speaking in front of a large audience, there's only so far that your stories can go when you're just telling them. So, and that just kind of stay in the back of my mind. And then maybe a couple years ago, when I started reading romance heavily, the more I saw that there wasn't a lot of stories like mine. Like, there is some Latina stories out there, definitely not as many as there should be. There's not many of like a multicultural where she or he is the Latin person, and then the couple is from a different ethnicity or background. And even less if you want to add, you know, the curvy representation or small town. Like, how many Latin stories are there where they take place in a small town? And I grew up in a big city, but I am a small town girly through and through. And the more, so we moved to the States, we moved to Jacksonville, which is also a big city. And then we keep moving like further away from the city every time we move. and the more distance we are from people, the more I'm like, this is what I want. Yeah. So I started joking last year that I was just going to write my story so my kids could see like their parents' love story. My husband is truly incredible, and he's so Sunni. And I was like, you know, I have to share him with the world. So I'll do like, I'll write him down. And I started writing it in like my notes app. And this might like go into another question, but I started writing it in like my notes app, and I had one friend reading it as I wrote like the chapters. So when I had like six chapters, she was like, this is actually really good. Like, she was like, this is actually good. But then like me and my husband, we were like instant love, and it wasn't, there hasn't been like a conflict, you know, and if you're going to write a story, you at least have to have like something going on. So I was like, well, I'm just going to write this and I'm going to inspire it in us, but then I'm going to add a bunch of elements. So then I invited another friend into like the notes app situation. And this went on for months, like March until like November. And they would, you know, message me and say, where's the next chapter? And I'm like, you guys, I don't know. You know, when it comes. And then around November, my husband was like, so many chapters do you have? And I was like, I don't know, like 32. And he's like, that's almost a book.
That's so interesting that you did it through like the notes app, because I remember being a teen and being on forums for fanfic. And that's how it used to be. You used to write a chapter. People would like, you know, comment on it, ask you to add this into it, or like, you know, but it was always like always a chapter at a time. And then it became like this huge story. So it's funny that you did it that way with just, you know, your friends. And I'm just remembering, like, I used to do that with fanfic. I used to sit there and write my little chapter and then send it out into the world. And it wasn't until recently I thought about it. I'm like, I don't remember what website it was, but I would love to have access to it. Just it back, because I'm pretty sure it's not good. But to know that it's out there somewhere, but that
I'm going to need to try to search for that.
I have. And I remember one of my chapters' names. It was Peppermint and Magnets, because they finally kiss and he says, you taste like peppermint. And they were like drawn together like magnets. Like, they just came.
I was like, wait, are you going to say you taste like peppermint and magnets?
No. It was something like, you drew me in like a magnet. We just stood together. And I remember, you know, one of the things was like, she tasted like peppermint. So
I love that.
Do you find that doing it that way and like letting your two friends in on it was a little less pressure than if you were just kind of doing it by yourself and then sending it off to others to finally edit or alpha and beta read? You find that it was like less pressure? Yeah.
I think so. And they were very like, you know, hyping me up, and they would ask like, when's the next chapter, or like, when are we gonna know what's happening, you know, like stuff like that. I don't know if actually I would have finished this book without them, because I didn't actually think it was not worth writing, but like worth reading, if that makes sense. And having them like have my back definitely pushed me to like, okay, maybe this is actually good.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you were very sneaky about it. You were just like one day, hey, guess what? I wrote a book.
Yeah. It like, like came out of like, nowhere.
Okay.
Thanks to ApollyCon, I was able to like meet you and come across your content. And then, you know, I love how it's like you and, you know, your chaos and your life and everything, you know, all the things. I love that you say that, all the things. And so when you posted that you were going to be writing, I was just like, wait, what? Like, that's so awesome. Now,
yeah, it was really cool.
How did that journey happen? Because I'm assuming it's like, you know, you're self-publishing. So how was that process like for you? Did you like reach out to, you know, people that you knew that were self-publishing? Is it something that trial and error, you're learning as you go? How's that going?
I definitely reach out to people. Last year, when I first started writing this in like the notes app, me and my friend had coffee with Veronica Eden. And my friend like mentioned that I was writing, and Veronica was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I'm not publishing. I'm like, I'm just writing for myself. And even if I have like one copy that I can like hold. And she gave me a lot of words of encouragement. You know, she was like, finish the book and then decide what you want to do with it. And she said, and if you ever decide to do publish, like I'm here. And I took that and I was like, I am actually going to do this. So I need, you know, your input. And she was very helpful. Oh my gosh, I call her, and I definitely ask more people, but her, Bella Matthews, Rachel LaBerge, which she also debuted this year. So it was a lot of like, hey, what do you do that work like right now? Nicole Fiorina, like the four of them have been like my debut book moms. I'm always either in their DMs, or now I have everyone's phone number, so now I'm, well, except Ella's, she hasn't given it to me, but I do message them constantly, and I don't know what I would have done without them, because a lot of the things that I have done that have gotten, you know, the word out and the ARC readers and all of that has been due to their help, and they have been nothing but welcoming and supportive and answer all my questions.
I loved reading that in your acknowledgments. Because I always read the acknowledgments. I love that whole sappy shit once you're done with the book. And I loved reading the thanks and how grateful you were for all of them. It was really cute.
So much help. And like, I didn't know anything, honestly. Anything. I knew that you could go through KDP, that was like the easiest way to self-publish. And that was about it. I knew what I was writing, obviously, and I'm never gonna forget, it was like in January, I reached out to Rachel, because I reached out to her and I was like, hey, I know I had just ARC read her book, and I was like, your book is so well written. And she said, oh, I just had a really good editor. And I mean, she's a good writer as well. And I was like, what does an editor do? Like, I thought an editor was just like proofreading. And she like walked me through the steps of like what each step of an editing does and how hard it is to find them in a short notice. So I literally sent like 8 emails in 2 days. And I was like, hi, you know, because I was like, I wanted to make sure I could find someone that could work with me and edit and, you know, and then also look at the prices and all that. So it was definitely, that part was very like rush to kind of learn everything and what I needed to do in order to get this book the best version of itself it could have been. Mm-hmm. But yeah, So definitely I was very, very grateful of all of their help. And like Nicole, we're having coffee next week at some point, and we're going to talk about like next steps. Like now that the book will be out Tuesday, like what do we do next? And it's just very nice because I have found that they treat it a lot of us like we are coworkers and not competition, which has been very, that's very really nice. Good.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you prepare yourself to write? I know you said you write in your little notes app, but do you like to sit down and just like get yourself ready to go? Or do you just like walk in the grocery store, stop, let me just write something really quick?
So with the beginning, like the first 32 chapters of The Truth Never Spoken, it was pretty much when like, oh, I'm going to write. A lot of times in the car, like we would be going somewhere and I'm like, oh, let me write a little bit and kind of go from there. But after I got a computer, I didn't even have a computer. So that was the whole thing. After I got a computer, now I have kind of like a routine. So I write at night because I work during the day. And on the weekends, I do write in like sprints. So like I will set up my phone and write like 20 to 30 minutes and then go do stuff and then come back and write again, just because I am goal oriented. So if I say, okay, I have 20 minutes to get as many words as I can, I'm going to do a lot better than if I were just to like do it, you know, slowly. So basically I go to work, I come home, I hang out with the kids, take them to extracurriculars if I have to take them. We do like the whole family thing, dinner, shower, bedtime and whatnot. And then me and my husband sit in the living room. He watches TV and I write.
The perfect setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. Like the TV doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
And he is like a quality time guy. So we can just like be together and he's fine. And he actually got me like a lap desk. So I just sit on the couch and put the computer on my lap and I write.
I feel like that's how I am with my husband. Like we don't have to be doing anything, but I want us in the same room. Yes.
Together, but separate, you know, like we want to be together.
Yeah. Be near me. You don't have to talk, but just be next to me. That's but then sometimes I get on him. I'm like, you're not talking to me. He was like, which one do you want today?
Oh my God.
And also, it's really nice for me to write when I'm right next to him, because book one, like I said, the male main character is heavily inspired by him. So I'm able to ask him quickly, like, what would you say if this would happen? Stuff like that. It's great. And he was a football player, so it was very easy for me to like ask him like what did the like stuff like that. Yeah, he was a football. That's actually how we met. So I was a cheerleader for his football team. And
I can't with you. I can't deal with you.
Yeah. So cute. And we met at a party at my house, just like in the book.
That's so
sweet. When you told me that, I was like, I messaged her and I was like, oh my God, I love this scene. It was the party scene with the phone and everything. You have to say it for people because, you know.
The meet you in this book, they know each other. They go to the same high school. They're in the same grade, which was made up. But they know each other. They have the same group of friends, but they don't really talk to each other. And then there is this one party that happens after a football game and he goes to like talk to her and she's all like, you know, spiraling because she's tired and she didn't want to throw a party and blah, blah, blah. And he's like fishing to make sure that she's not like talking to anyone or dating or anything like that. And when she's finally like, no, I'm not, he like pulls her phone out of her back pocket and grabs, like opens it and to add his phone number, but he doesn't show her what he writes the phone number as. And then he just like turns the camera around and says, smile for the picture, takes us a quick picture and puts the phone back and leaves. So it's one of my favorite scenes. It happened very, very similar in real life, except he didn't like pull the phone from my pocket. He just asked for it. But I even have the picture of that like one night. And actually someone today who's reading it said, do you have art of this first picture? And I was like, no, that's a great scene to have. I love art. So I'm like, I think I'm going to commission some because that would be a great scene.
That's a good one. It's funny that you say good. that that thing sticks out to you. The very beginning for me got me like hooked right away. Like the whole TSA, like going through the airport, like I was laughing. I was like, oh my God, if that happened to me, I would die. I would literally like just evaporate.
Funny story, the TSA text actually happened. It was similar, not exactly the same. I was actually going, and there's something called the Truth Never Spoken Companion. I'll make sure to send it to you guys too. That people that pre-order like the Kindle version will, and they submit proof, they'll get it. But basically, it's like me like rambling about like a few scenes and how like that came to be about. So 2 years ago, me and my husband were going to Bahamas for our anniversary trip. And my friend was blowing up my phone, asking me things, and I kept ignoring her. So she sent a text and said, I really hope that you're not messaging me because you're in the bathroom somewhere with Joey. And that text came through at the same time that I was showing the TSA agent.
That's awesome.
My phone.
Perfect.
The minute that happened, I was like, if I ever write anything like this, has to go in there.
It had me cracking up. You really drew me in from the very beginning. You know how like it takes a couple pages or maybe a couple chapters to really like get you? I felt like within the first chapter, I was just like, okay, this is gonna be good. You know, I sat back and like really enjoyed it. So
I'm glad.
To you. Yeah.
I think we could actually just go ahead and get into the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we're here for, right? Yeah. So I'm going to have you go ahead and tell us like a little blurb or summary of what the book is about first.
Yeah. So The Truth Never Spoken follows Ali and Jake, and it is told in a dual timeline. So you get a few chapters of the past, a few chapters of the present. They are 17 and 18 in the past, their senior year in high school. And it was pretty much like the perfect love for them, but then something happens and they break up and they find each other again 10 years later at the airport. And Ali is going back to a city nearby where they were from to work, and you know, something happens and forced proximity, and he ends up being like, you're not gonna stay there. So they're basically forced to spend time together, and you know, the love rekindles, but whatever happened to break them up is still kind of lingering. So like Jay doesn't really know what happened and why she basically disappeared for 10 years. So we just kind of follow them along as we also learn what happened. And I wanted to write this story in a way that both the past and the present happen at the same time, where you found out in the past. Like, you know, the story follow until whatever happens at the same time that you find out in the present, and kind of like unify both storylines. But, you know, it's definitely a contemporary romance. There's no suspense because there's no suspense in the sense that nobody's really like at risk. You know, like there is a hospital situation, but you know that they are fine in the future, so you know that they're not really, you know, in danger. But it definitely has a couple twists, so it definitely has a couple things.
Like some of the like hospital and things like that, I was like, wait, like all time.
And you definitely kept that super interesting, because like you said, there's no like real like suspense. And you kind of know things because things are spoiled because it's the past and it's the future. But you did it so well that it doesn't even matter. You're just like reading this great story, and you're finding out what's happening in the past, and you're finding out what's happening in the future. It was done very well.
Thank you.
So good job.
Yes. I like So we know that this is inspired by you and your husband's love story. And you mentioned that your mom, you know, was a really big reader, and the mom in this story is also a really big reader. Were there other situations or parts that inspired the story for you that you put into the book?
Oh, yes. So, let's see.
Won't give too much away.
Yeah, I know. the bar scene.
Okay.
Have you finished it, Celise?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the bar scene with the whole her taking that drink and he kissing her after that happened in real life. And I was like, ooh, okay, I'm gonna write this. Kara is inspired by a real person. Ro is inspired by a real person in their personalities too.
I have questions. Nick, I have questions for that. I'll wait.
I'll just tell you right now, like, what were things that were inspired by, like, real life and stuff like that, and then you can ask me. Nick is also inspired by a real person. Baker Oaks, so the town, is inspired in Baker County. In Florida, the city's called something different, but the county's called Baker County. The first time they go to, like, the river, the whole scene where she's, like, freaking out over the water being brown, that also happened when I first moved here. I was like, I'm not getting in there. I was like, absolutely not. And then there were some scenes that were inspired by songs. So So the book has a song that you're supposed to either listen to while you're reading or, like, after, so you can kind of get a grasp of it. You don't have to. Like, my friend that read it in Notes app, she doesn't listen to music at all when she's reading. So she hasn't even listened to the playlist at all. But my editor, she read it the first time without the music. And then the second time she read it with the music. And she said that it was definitely different experience. So a lot of the songs that inspire some of the scenes are in the playlist, except one. Ghost by Justin Bieber inspire a few of the scenes in the book, especially, like, the emotional ones where he's like, I would rather, like, not be without you no matter what I have to do type thing. But I didn't add it because it would have been, like, four chapters that it would have had, like, that same song. The mom is heavily inspired by my mom as well. And the injury is the same injury my husband went through.
Oh, wow.
Wow, this is literally your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, except the conflict.
Which is good, you know? You had a beautiful story, but to make it a little bit more interesting, you had to put in something, right?
Yes, and the, you know, the 10-year breakup that never happened. Like, I didn't move to the States. We were not teenagers when we met. You know, there's enough differences, but there's a lot of things that are, like, heavily inspired by, like, real life.
I love it because it's all the beautiful moments, you know, like, all those special moments that we get to read about. And I loved it.
I'm glad.
Now, how often did it change for you? Like, were there scenes where, like, your friends who read it were like, no, you should probably shouldn't add that, or maybe you should add some of this? How often did your entire book change
for
you?
So not a lot, actually. I write chronologically, so I write, like, in the order of the chapters. I don't, like, jump around. So my continuity was pretty good. I would say the things that changed the most were when I sent to my first beta reader. She is an English professor. Or she went to college for, like, English. I don't know. Anyway, she asked me, how picky do you want me to be? And I said, as picky as you want to be, because I want this book to be great. She was able to, I think the book has, like, 79,000 words. And she sent me, like, 20,000 edits when she first got it. And a lot of them were commas because I didn't use those much. And a lot of the things were like, okay, I see where you're trying to go with this. How about we do this instead? Especially, like, changing the order of some things. So, like, you know, grammar, basically base, but the continuity didn't change at all. The story didn't change at all. The book originally had three parts instead of four, but the editor thought that we should break it when we first get Jake's POV. She was like, I think this should be, like, a different part. So we did that. And then my betas did give me feedback of, like, this is a lot of knowing, but not a lot of feeling. So, like, I would go and add feelings. There was one scene that they have, like, the whole condom talk. That scene changed a little bit to just be more respectful of the people that how did I word it at the first time? I said something of the sort of, like, my results were clean, And actually, Michaela, she was my beta reader that was like, hey, there's been a lot of talk about how this, some people don't like this because it makes it seem like cities are dirty, which I agree with, but like, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. So we changed that. Pretty much that's it. I did go back after the book was pretty much done. I went back and changed one of the scenes where he's cooking. He was cooking her like Southern food again, but this would have been like the second time he was cooking her Southern food, and I changed it to be Dominican food. I changed it.
The mofongo or the mango. I was like, okay.
Yeah. My husband can actually make mango. So then I was like, I'll make it work. So like I changed that. But not much, actually. I'm more terrified of how much it's going to change in book two because it's so different than book one that I'm just like, meh, we'll see.
I don't want to ask questions about book two just yet, but I lost my question. But who
was it about Roe?
Yeah, so well, I guess it's gonna lead to like towards the end of like what's next. So I don't want to ask it just yet, but I do have questions on like what book two could be about and things like that. So I'll just wait on that. Okay. Your favorite character to write, or who was your hardest character to write while the writing process?
Ali was definitely the hardest. It's so weird because she's basically very inspired by me. I am like pretty confident and very like I love myself for who I am, but I have a lot of struggles with like perception. So I really struggled with how I was writing her, where people would still understand where she was coming from without hating her. So that was like my main thing. I was like, I really don't want people to hate her. And the first like 10 comments that I got from like all my betas were like how relatable she was. And I was like, whew, okay.
You're safe.
She was the hardest for sure. And Jake was the easiest to write. Actually, no, Kara's character was the easiest to write.
Mm-hmm. I love her like little bits in this. Did you get a lot? Did you ask your husband for, I guess you did because you mentioned it before, like, oh, how would you say this kind of thing? Just writing in a male's perspective. I'm always interested on that process, but you had your husband there a little bit for guidance. So did you go there a lot or was it more like, do you think this sounds right from a male perspective? Yeah.
So he went a lot like that, or like I would ask him, like I would say, do you think you would say something like this? Or you would think, like the inner thoughts was harder. And he would say like, yeah, or football terms. That's where I was the most like, I was like, what do you call when they're all like, you know, together and they go, huh! And he's like.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Or like I knew his position in the offensive line. So it was really easy to like write that. But then I had to like write the other character. So then I would ask, like, what would this person do? Or like, would you ever do this? And he would be like, no, like I would never. I'm like, well, what are the chances of an offensive line, like lineman run with the ball? And he would be like, very slim. He's like very, very slim.
So who out of all of your characters would you love to spend a day with? And then what would you do with them?
A lot of them, actually.
A lot of them are pretty fun.
You know, I actually like a lot of them. But other than Jake, obviously. Mm-hmm. I really add Ro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her vibe.
Yeah, same.
And I love the bar scene where she gives you like a flight and like you have to, she, you know, makes you taste everything and she's like, now I know what you like, and like she'll always get your drink right. I love that.
I wish every bartender was like that.
I know.
Like,
yeah. That was definitely not inspiring anyone. That is wishful thinking.
Yeah, definitely.
Like how fun would that be for you to go to a bar and the person being like, here's a flight of what I think you would like.
Exactly.
Watch your micro expressions and see if I can figure it out. So
right. I love that.
Ro's character is really fun. So I think Ro.
I love that. plans for the series, and if you can talk a little bit about the next book, because I have, like, you know, little thoughts, because we know that Roe and I think it's Santiago, right?
Santiago.
I see something kindling there, but then Clara too, I feel like, is that like a second chance romance in there? And like with Cole?
Look at her face. She's like,
mm. So I'm like, who could be next? But that's the beauty of what your story is, because although we get Jake and Allie's story, I want more. And I want to know who else is within, you know, your series. So if you can, I'm not sure if you can or not, but.
So I'm not. When are you making this episode public?
Like, probably next week. Hold on, let me double check. But probably right before your debut, I think. Hold on.
Okay. Then I'm not gonna tell you who. I'm not gonna tell you who. However, my special edition book, like the illustrated cover one, has an excerpt from book two. So ask me in 2 weeks and I'll tell you who it is. So you can publish this. But so basically when I wrote this book, it was just gonna be a standalone, whatever. And the more I wrote, the more my other friends were like, what about Kira? Or like when I first introduced Santiago's character, you know, they sat with that chapter for like 3 weeks before I had anything else. So they kept saying like, ooh, he sounds mysterious and we want to, you know, get to know him a little bit. So then I was like, nah, might as well make this into a small town. And then he just kind of went from there. So I cannot tell you who the couple is, but I can tell you it will be same town. We will get to see Ali and Jake more. Where I am writing right now, book two, this I can tell you, book two. So book one takes place in like the fall, so like October-ish. Book two is that summer right before. So it's before Ali comes to Baker Oaks, and then around like 60% in is around that fall time.
Okay.
Okay.
I see you.
That a little bit.
I like that.
I can tell you that it's a sports romance. I can tell you which book three is not. So I can tell you that much. Book two is still sports, is going to be motocross.
Okay.
And which is great. My husband also writes, so I get to ask him all the questions.
Perfect. I was just going to ask that. How much do you know about it? Perfect.
I'm just the moto wife and mom, but everyone in this household writes except me. That's so.
Awesome. Oh, I love that.
We are in the track like twice a month. So I'm like, this is the way it's going to go. I actually already have art for book two.
Wow.
I have like the Jake stickers for book one. So for book two, I have like the same, but for like the motocross jersey.
Aww.
So I can tell you that much. I can tell you that it's rivals to lovers. And then I can tell you that Kira is not book two. Her book is book three.
Okay.
And it is not a second chance.
Hey.
It's all right.
Okay.
I'll take
it's
that.
Okay.
But I know I told this to my friend and she said, what? And I said, but hold on. Because in book two, you get to know more about her. So it will make sense why it's not a second chance by book three. Does that make sense? Yeah. But
I respect your decisions and your writing.
The amount of people that have DM'd me asking for Kara's second chance love story, and I'm like,
that's what I thought.
Not. I also
I have thoughts.
I also know that book two and three are going to be single timeline. So there's no a dual timeline, but book four is a dual timeline.
Okay. I love that. You have it all mapped out.
Just those four. We'll see what happens.
Okay. That's exciting.
I'm gonna DM you because I have thoughts.
I have the titles. You can DM me. I have all four titles, and I have all four tropes, all four couples, and I have the blurbs. That, like, a lot of authors struggle with the blurbs. That's
title. You're so prepared.
Mm-hmm. It's easy. Drafting is what's hard for me. I'm like, I have all the ideas, but putting them down is hard. Editing, like looking at the self edits and all of that, was like was flowy, but that first draft is so hard.
I commend writers, because my brain doesn't function that way. Like, getting this there and typing and writing, I'm so scattered that someone would have to just go in and pluck it out of me.
Yeah, so I almost wish that I could just, like, text. I wish, but there's no way with my accent. Like, my computer does not understand anything that I'm saying. Because it will make it a lot more easier, because I like talking. So talking, you know, I can just tell the story and the computer can type it. But I spend so much time fixing what the computer thought that I said, that I have to type it. But it's definitely the most challenging part for me is drafting. And also, like, and an author said that this weekend, and I was like, yes, good to know I'm not by myself. Actually, JLA said this weekend. I said, if JLA thinks this, then I feel bad. She said that you make it to a certain part in the book where you just want to throw everything away, and you're like, this is trash and this is worth nothing, basically. So that's where I'm at right now. So I'm at a point where I know where I want this to go, and I know what I have written, but I'm like, do I delete the whole thing and rewrite it? And my friend is like, no. And she's reading it live again this time. And this weekend she read like 10 chapters because she was behind. And then she finished and she's like, when do I get more? I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, I was just ready to delete it.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's where I'm at right now.
Are you finished yet? I need more.
I'm not, but I did like outline the rest of the book. So I did outline like what's going to happen now, and like kind of each chapter, what is going to be. So I just need to like now sit down and like put the words into paper. However, writing is very like, you know, it's just you and the computer and your words. So I did talk to my beta reader, the first one. So I send betas in waves too. So I send like one first, then another one. And then after that second round, then I send to like a group. And so that first beta that is getting it, I might send it to her incomplete. Like I told her, I'm like, I might send you this to what I have. And then after I get some of your feedback, I might just keep writing. And I don't know. We'll see.
That's good, because then you're like, the farther you get and then you feel like the rest of it's trash and you're just like, well, now I have to start over. So that's probably the best way to do it, just to do it in waves. Yeah.
And she says she was fine with that too, because, you know, she also works full time. So she's like, it's going to take me a while to get to there, and then I'll get her feedback, and then I'll be able to say like, okay, this is going in the right direction, or I have to adjust and kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. She also said that she would be very willing. She wants to read something so we can talk out like where to go next. Does that make sense? Because I'm not a plotter. I think that if I were to plot like a lot, then I would definitely be like, I'm not writing anymore. Like, this is done enough. But I definitely need like an outline. So for book one, I needed to lay out all the chapters because I was trying to cross the timelines. So I wrote down like after chapter like 12, I was like, okay, if I'm gonna make this a thing, I need to figure out like what I'm gonna do. So I like outlined the whole book, like chapter 30, this is going to happen, but nothing more than like a line. So I just did this weekend for this one, and I have like a clear path of where I want to take it. So I'm confident.
Good. And do you have like an idea or a projection on when you want to release that next book?
Right now it's set to release on September 10th.
Okay.
This year?
Yeah. Go, girl. Yeah, that's my plan. I'm like 50,000 words in. I have like not much to go. Like 25 to 30,000 to go, because my books are never going to be like 150,000 words. I mean, maybe, but not right now. So that's the goal. I will probably announce like a set date, probably when I press end. Like when I finish like the draft, I'll be like, okay, this is the day, or I have to push it type thing. In order for me to keep the September 10th day, I need to have the draft in my editor's hand June 15th, which is not too bad. So I'm hoping.
You got this.
Yes, I'm hoping. Book 3 will definitely not come out this year, I can tell you that.
Yeah. I hope not. That's a lot.
Yeah, I would evaporate. That's like so much. I can't believe you could do that.
Definitely. I said that. I was like, two, I might push. It's because I'm also going to sign in RomanceCon in September. And I want to have choices. You know, I want to be able to say, like, here's two books you can read for me. Yeah. So that's kind of the goal. But I'm also very like, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Like, I'm going to go and have a good time with whatever I have out by then.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Signing up for a book con, was that like something that you wanted to do, or, you know, your friends were like, you should do it? How did that happen for you?
So I love book conventions. I thrive in the chaos. I thrive, like, I get, like, people fuel me, which is like the opposite of other people. Jenny, I'm looking at you.
I'm like, too many people.
So I'm not gonna lie though, like, this weekend was definitely a lot more than I thought it was going to be, especially because I was like on the whole time.
We had like a job to do.
Yeah, exactly. Much. You know, so that was definitely like intense. If I were to do this again, I would probably take my day off. Not gonna work on my day. But it's doable. I love I think one of my biggest dreams is to like have like a random person that I've never met to come and be like, I read your book and you signed this.
That would be so cute.
Yeah.
I would love that for you.
What I didn't know is that conventions sometimes fill up 2 years and 3 years before. Oh. So like I applied for 2026 already to some conventions. So, which is hard when you don't have, like when I applied to RomanceCon, I didn't even have a release date. So it was like, I may or may not have a book, you know? So it was very, so because I wanted to like try it out. And then Bella said, and I'm living by that word, she said, you apply to as many as you would like to go, right? And then probably they'll say no or waitlist you until they can see like Hannah, how your book goes. But maybe in October 2025, you'll have 4 books out and they'll want you. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it went. So definitely when RomanceCon invited me, I was like screaming, actually. I was like,
good.
So I was very, very, very excited about that. I applied to some other ones, but we'll see.
I'm so excited to see that transition from going as a reader and then seeing you as an author. Like, that has to be like a crazy experience that you're going to go. I can't wait to see it, you know? I can't wait to see your videos and your content on it. You know, going in, you've got to, you know, book conventions and you go in as a reader and excited to see the authors, and then now you're going and you're gonna have that experience. So I'm so excited for you.
I know, I'm very excited. I have a local signing next week, and I'm so excited because this is a bookstore that I have gone as a reader for signing so many times. And like being on the back end of that, it's surreal. It definitely is. And like Nicole, she said, I'll go support you and I'll be on the other side of the line for once, and I'm like,
that is so cute. Oh my God. Somebody definitely has to record all that.
Yes, my friend is coming as my PA. She, the minute I decided to publish, she's like, I'm going to be your PA forever. She's like, I'm just going to put it in contract that you don't have to pay me until you start making money. But the minute you start making money, you are not allowed to hire anyone else. I was like,
that's a good friend.
Yeah, she is.
She's great.
She was like, I'm your friend, but I'm also plugging me in as a future employee. So
yes. But she's also like literally my like, other than my husband, like, my biggest supporter. Like, she brought to Apollycon, like, stickers that I had given her so she could, like, give them to people so she could talk.
That's nice.
Or, like, we would go, when we went to Sweetgrass together and people would ask, like, how do you write your name? She would be like, oh, it's right here. And it was, like, Amber's PA. So people are like, what are you her PA for? And she's like, for her book that is coming out next month.
That is hilarious.
I love that. I can't with her. So definitely she will be there. She's going to all my, she's doing all the things.
I love that.
I love that for you. Mm-hmm. All right. So one book that you would recommend to anybody. So a book that you love that you're just like, this is the book I recommend for you. And it could be anybody.
The Simple Wild by Kay Tucker. It's usually the book that I go to. It's romance, but it's closed doors. So like technically you could read it like 13. There's like kiss on page. That's as much as it is. There is like some cussing, but it's definitely closed door. It's a series, so technically you have to read all three. You can read the first one alone and be fine. You can read two and three without reading one, though. It's definitely my favorite book in the world, I think. I think it would be that book.
I have to try. I loved her, The Fate of Wrath and Flame. I read the first two books. I still need to read the third one. And I loved it a lot.
I own all of her books, all of them.
Yeah.
I love them. I love her.
What's your favorite genre to read? Would it be romance?
Yeah, contemporary romance and thrillers.
And thrillers.
Like,
ever thought about writing a thriller?
Or Everyone's Gonna Die? No. And I'm not sure why.
No.
I love thrillers, but I don't know. Maybe a thriller with romantic elements.
Hmm.
You know, like maybe, I don't, well, I'm not going to say no, but
it's not on your radar.
Like a romance with mild thriller elements.
Yeah. Like maybe like a romance with like some psychological thrillers. Like, have you read, what's it called? Before I Go to Sleep, I think is what it's called. Mm-mm. It's basically, now I can't find it. Before I Go to Sleep. It's a thriller. Yes. Before I Go to Sleep. It's a thriller mystery, psychological thriller for sure. And she wakes up in a hospital with no memories. And then she's like re-falling in love with her husband.
Okay.
But at the meantime, you're trying to figure out what happened to her and why she had no memories. And then there's a big twist, and then you're like, holy shit. So
I have to read that. Something like
always so good.
Really good.
That does sound good.
So good. And actually the movie is really good too. Like the book is incredible, but the there's only like four books that have been into film that I can tell you, like, I would recommend both, and that's one of them.
Okay.
I'll have to write that down.
Yeah, you're gonna have to play this back for me.
I know, I was gonna say, wait, we have it on recording, so
you're gonna have to play it back. And what's the name of it again?
It's really good.
So anyone missed it, what's coming up for you? Can you tell us your upcoming book signings again?
Yeah, so May 7th is release, which is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But there might be a weekend early surprise. So stay tuned on Amazon before then. Oh, this is not going live until then. Well, whatever.
Release. It'll be Sunday. Sunday the 5th, I believe.
So this applies to Sunday, but release is Tuesday. Then May 11th, I'm signing in Jacksonville, Florida. It's called the Literary Lounge, so I'm going to be there. Then the 18th, I'm signing in Amelia Island, also in Florida, on an indie bookstore. It's called the Book Loft. Then in June 8th, I'm signing in Orlando.
Okay.
But I'm not allowed to say where yet.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But I can say it's in Faith, and I can say it's in Orlando. So I can say that. And I can also let you know that it's going to be with amazing authors. I am like,
I know. I am so jealous. That, so, I mean, I'm happy for you, for you. But as a reader, I am very
that jealous. Doesn't live in Orlando, right? So I'm excited about that. And then Labor Day weekend, so like September 6th, 7th, I'm going to be in Milwaukee at RomanceCon.
You are a busy, busy lady.
Busy, busy. And then so you have possibly your second book releasing in September as well.
Yes. Yes. So I'm hoping, I'm hoping to release, actually the 10th is right after. But if it's done and I know it's going to be done, I'll push it a week early. So it's done by then.
Oh, good.
So I just don't want to, with KDP, if you change your date, if you push it back, you can only push it back once.
Okay.
You can push it forward, but you can only push it back one time, or then you lose like your ability to do pre-orders. So I'm being very careful with like, what day? I think September 10th is doable. Especially now that ApolliCon is over, the school year has 23 days to go. So like
no one's counting.
For you. For June.
23 days. So I'm definitely, and my kids are going to be doing summer camp this summer, half the summer. So so I'm going to be able to focus a lot more on writing. So I'm pretty confident that is September 10th is a good date.
I love that.
Awesome. Yeah. Love that for you. I'm so happy for you. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love seeing your journey, you know. Yeah. It's been and I feel like I enjoy it more because you are so relatable. Like we have a lot of things in common where we're parents to two young children. We're both in the teaching field. We both love to read. We're very family oriented. We both come from, you know, Latin backgrounds. Like there's so many like elements to you that is so relatable and it's so refreshing to see because we don't see that a lot for our community. So I'm so happy for you. I really am. And I'm wishing you so much success.
Yeah. Agreed.
Thank you. This definitely has been like Veronica Eden, she was telling me that a few weeks ago. She was like, you should be so proud of everything you've accomplished since like last year ApolliCon. Like we met at last year's ApolliCon, right? And I went from like going as a reader, not even having been to a book convention ever, to applying to being an influencer, to becoming an influencer, to turning my whole book world upside down, to like, you know, getting arcs and bookish mail and things that I never thought I would, to like, hi, I'm an author. You know, like it's definitely been a wild year, and I'm very, very grateful, especially for the people, you know, that has my back, that are supportive, you know, like Celise. I'm never going to forget when I announced that I was an Apollo influencer and you messaged and you said you were rooting for me. And I was like, she doesn't give a damn.
I was like, you go through, you see all the videos and I'm like, she better be one. If there's one, she better be one. Because like, I'm living through you. Like I said, like we had so much things in common that I was just like, if I don't get it, she's the closest thing to me. So besides Jenny, of course, I knew Jenny was going to get it. Jenny was like, I'm not going to get it. I was like, girl, you got this.
I love that. No, I definitely, you know, I'm definitely very grateful and very thankful. And I hope you guys know and people know that I don't take it for granted. And I literally, like, I cry almost every night with the support, like just happy tears. Like last night, I opened my KDP to like kind of see where, well, the reason I opened it actually was because they sent me an email that said, in 2 days, your book will be locked. Make sure you have the final version. So, you know, I'm like spiraling. I'm like, oh my gosh, did I put the right thing? And my hardcover did not fit. So I was I'm messaging my illustrator, my cover designer, and I'm like, I need you to fix this tonight because it has to be done by tomorrow. But she sent it to me and whatever. So when I went in,
thumbs up.
And I was like, oh, but you know, it does this too.
Oh, look at that.
I discovered this.
I had no idea that did that.
Me neither.
I don't know. It happened one time and now I do it every time. Also, this one with balloons. This is my favorite one.
Is that just like a thing? Like, wait.
I don't know.
It didn't happen for me.
It didn't happen for me either.
I don't know. So
I'm going to have to update ours.
My husband said the other day, he said, it's because that's like what your brain feels like. He's like, when you are literally like cheering on people, you're like sending the balloons. And I'm like, you're not wrong. So I went in last night to like look at something and I am like almost at 200 pre-orders. And I was like, not only on ebook, because my paperback pre-orders are live as well. So like combined, but like, that's like almost 200 people that believe in me enough to have not even read my book. And you know what I mean? Like, you have not read anything that I've written. Like, how do you know I'm good?
Because you're a great person.
Your friend.
You're a great person.
I just, it's really mind blowing. And like, I don't know. And when I sent arts, it was very like, I might throw up at any point.
I love it. It's so pretty.
I'm so glad you guys like them.
It was the best thing to come back from a book convention where you spent so much money and then you come home to more books.
I know. I love that too. Michaela Hornedo, I sent her one because she was one of my betas and she was like, I just got home and your book was here, you know? But I'm just very grateful. Very, very grateful. And every time someone messages me or I'm at the point now where like, every day I wake up and I have at least 5 notifications, either people posting about it or commenting or messaging me. And it's definitely validating, but it's also like, oh my gosh, my story is reaching people. So I am very, very grateful. Very, very
it's
grateful.
Good. It's good. You wrote a great story. And like I told, I don't read sports romances. I don't like, it's never anything that like appeals to me right away. And yours was only the second sports romance I've ever read. The first one was Long Shot by Kennedy Ryan, which I loved. And yours I loved as well. So,
well, I have another one coming for you.
Now you're going to be her sports romance.
I know. You'll be my sports romance author.
Except Kara's book is not a sports romance, but book two is. But you know what? I'm also not going to say no because Kara was also a cheerleader with Ali, so
true.
We'll see what her character lets me know, because Kara's character is the one that will not leave my head.
She's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's so fun. Like the whole like friendship at the beginning between the two of you, I love, like I said, that's what like really I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit back and really enjoy this, because the friendship between you two, I'm saying you two as if
I was just gonna comment on that, you two.
Between Ali and Kara, yeah.
Because I feel like her, Ali, really, you did put yourself in her. Like, mm-hmm. I could see her personality through you and like vice versa. So like, it's hard to like put the two, separate the two a little bit.
I have another friend that she said that she used the closed door option, even though she does read spies, because she said she couldn't stop, not like she couldn't not hear me in her head when she was reading it. So she was like, I couldn't even hear your accent. And she was like, I didn't want to read that. So she like, I was like, okay. I was like, it's there, you said.
I love that you did that too, like with the whole closed door, like, so you gave people the option to do that. That was really nice.
Yeah, I've always wanted to give option. I actually started reading Romans with closed door first. And I can read closed door, no issues. Like Sarah Adams is one of my favorite romance authors and she writes mostly closed doors. Or like I can read Ali Hazelwood, and Ali Hazelwood has like 75% in before she gives you some open door spies. So while I love,
you're breaking up for me.
Yeah, you're breaking up for me on this side too. Oh no.
Can you now?
Your face, the way you're frozen right now. Okay.
It came back on.
Like this.
It was like.
But basically, I wanted to give the option, and it took me a long time to figure out how I was going to give the option. But then I found that little symbol when I was formatting my book, because I formatted it myself. And then I was like, ah, it looks like a little door opening. So I'll do that.
It was cute. I like that. It's very thoughtful of you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work with book two yet, because with this Ali and Jake story, you could skip the spice and we wouldn't change their development. There's only like one scene, the shower scene. There's one line she says that does impact the plot. But other than that, you can read it, you can skip it, and the plot doesn't change. However, my book two people are very sexually driven. And one of them hides emotions a lot through physical touch. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it work where it doesn't interrupt like the character arc. Yeah. So that's why we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Me too. But we don't want to take any more of your time. We know you have orders to pack and
that little one knocking on my door.
Yes. All the great things. But we really are excited to see where your work goes and see you grow. And we can't wait for readers to find you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come here. This is actually my first podcast.
Yay! Hope you have many more.
Yeah. This is also my first interview as an author, like when I'm not on the other end of it. So, yeah.
So we got it first.
Yeah, I was very excited. I was very excited.
So when you blow up and hit your millions of followers, we're there at the beginning.
Right here. Yeah.
And I will never forget the people that supported me from the beginning.
Oh. Well, we love you. We do. We're very excited to have you. I know. I'm going to have to fix that. Ugh. All right. Well, it's all right. All right.
Well, it's blowing up.
We won't keep you anymore.
Guys, and you guys have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.